Hi, and welcome to another episode of Minutes with Mom. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about marriage. This morning, I was periscoping and I got off on a tangent in regards to marriage and commitment and how in today's culture and society, everyone avoids intense commitments like marriage as if it were a plague or something. And so I got to thinking and I thought, you know what? I haven't done a podcast episode yet over marriage. So hence the inspiration came and now I'm talking about it. I have been married to my husband for 9 years. And in that nine year time span, we have had 6 children. We have moved all the way across the country and back and then back again across the country. We have changed jobs multiple times. We have lived in different houses. We've had different cars. We have experienced a whole host of things. The first time we started attending a church, the first day we arrived at the church, it was the first Sunday after this massive church split. And it was like the craziest church experience. We, you know, grew to love the people that were there, but it was just a really hard time to just step into as new church attendees at this particular church. And, you know, we have undergone many, many hardships, even in just our short 9 years of marriage. One element that is different and interesting is that there is a 12-year age difference between my husband and I. When we got married, I was 18 and he was 30. And that has added quite a few interesting details into our marriage throughout the years. Sometimes I have felt like, ugh, he's so old, he just doesn't get it. And I'm sure he's been gracious and kind and never said to my face, but I know he's had to have thought it like, oh my gosh, you're so young, you just don't get it. But nevertheless, we have had our fair share of ups and downs throughout our 9 years of marriage, and I know that we will endure more. But one of the main things that has stayed constant all throughout our marriage is our commitment to God and our commitment to each other. Now, the reality, marriage is hard. It's really hard. And sometimes it feels impossible, but marriage was created and designed by God. And here's the thing. Marriage is the union of two sinners becoming one. And, you know, think about the struggles that you have just on your own as a sinner, trying to live an obedient life to God. And then take that a step further and think about how you are now linked in a marriage to another sinner and you both are having to fight your flesh to live out your lives and your marriage in obedience to God. It's a tough thing. Life is hard. Marriage is hard. Parenting is hard. There are lots of elements that are coming at us every single day that causes us to really need to be on our face before the Lord all the time. And so something that I had to learn really, really early on in marriage is that the picture that Hollywood paints of marriage is not even close to reality. My sweet husband, as much as I love him and as much as I cherish him as my husband, he isn't necessarily your, quote, romantic fella. He often is in the clouds thinking about theology or thinking about studying or evangelizing or whatever it is that his mind is consumed with. And in the beginning of our marriage, I really struggled because I would think, oh, on this show, the guy, he would just randomly show up with flowers and, oh, it was just so wonderful, and oh, how come he doesn't do that for me? And really, it began to create this discontentment in my heart and a bitterness almost in my attitude because My husband wasn't meeting my fanciful, unrealistic expectations. Now, I'm not saying that he's never bought me roses or he's never done anything special, because he has. And when he does, hold on to your seats, because it will blow your mind. For instance, last year, I believe it was for our 8th anniversary, he surprised me by having arranged childcare for all of our kiddos, and he took me out to this really like authentic Italian restaurant, and all of these really nice things. And then when we came back to pick up our kids, they had already like gotten the kids to, it wasn't my anniversary, it was my birthday. See, I'm remembering wrong. My birthday. They had made a cake. And anyway, they made this cake and it was super cute and sweet. And then he sat me down in front of all of our friends. And mind you, they're like a 13-person family or something like that. And so all of them are there and our kids are there. And he pulls out this kind of little speech that he had written and just thanking me for all the things that I had done. And he even just briefly broke down into tears, and it was the sweetest thing, and I still remember it, and I still even remember the feeling that I had on the inside. And I just couldn't believe that he had done that. I thought it was very, very sweet. But again, I went into my birthday, I went into our anniversary and all that, you know, 8 years later at the time, with no expectations. I was thinking, you know what, as long as I get to spend the day with him and my kids, I'm fine. But in the beginning, that was not my attitude. I was thinking, I need flowers, and I need this, and I need that. And if he is not meeting my expectations, then he is failing. And I held it against him a lot of the time when he wouldn't live up to those expectations. So one thing that I want to say is, if you are in a marriage and you're in those beginning years and you have allowed yourself to buy into this idea that the man needs to be romantic and he needs to this and he needs to that, stop. Don't do that. You will ruin your relationship with your husband, and bitterness and resentment will begin to fester and grow in your heart. And when that starts happening, it's very destructive. It is like a poison to your soul. So remember, reality is marriage is hard. And when we put expectations on our spouses that aren't realistic, or that really we shouldn't do it at all, they're completely unnecessary, that's when dangers happen. Now, our commitment is first to God, to be this person's spouse. In the beginning of our marriage, probably around year maybe 4 or 5, we hit some really hard times. Some things took place, and I found some stuff out, and I was crushed on the inside. And I remember kind of talking to the Lord, and I just felt him reminding me that I was married to a sinner. I'm not perfect, and I mess up, and I do things, and I am in the wrong at times. And I needed to remember in that moment that I was married to a sinner. And sometimes I think that we have a tendency, especially as wives, to lift our spouses up kind of on this pedestal. Not that we worship them, but that we hold them to these standards, like, you are my husband, you are my protector, and if you wrong me in any way, how dare you? And then we punish them instead of coming alongside them, holding their hand and saying, hey, I know you're struggling right now. I'm here. I will pray for you. I will do whatever you need me to do to help you get through this. And in that moment, that is exactly what I did. I put out of my mind for that time period that he was my husband, and I instead looked at him and said to myself, he's my brother in Christ. He needs my help right now. And I proceeded forth in that mindset that I was going to help him. I was determined to help him just kind of get through everything that he was struggling with at the moment. And you know what? Marriage requires us to be selfless. It requires us to give 150, if not more, of ourselves every single day. It's not easy. There are times where I think, man, he is so difficult today, and I just cannot deal with him right now. But then there are times where I think, Lord, I am so blessed to have him in my life. I am so blessed to have him as my husband. He is such a compliment to me. He helps me. I am so thankful for him. But obviously, again, we're sinners dealing with this sin nature that's constantly fighting and warring against the good that God has created in marriage, the commitment, the unity, the ways that he refines us and teaches us through marriage. You know, scripture refers to us as the bride of Christ. He is our groomsman. And if you think about that, you can really get a better understanding of our relationship between God and man whenever we are viewing our marriage. And I sometimes think, I'm really glad I am not the husband, because oh my, the responsibility that rests on his shoulders, I cannot even imagine. I can't even imagine it. And I'm thankful that I wasn't born to be the husband, that I wasn't born a guy, and that wasn't my role. I'm very thankful for that, because I'll tell you right now, I probably would have chosen to be single, because I couldn't have handled it. But God has used me in many ways to help him, since my job is his helpmeet. God has used me in many ways to help him. And one thing that I want to point out too is that when you are a helpmeet, that does not mean that you can never point out sin in your husband's life. It doesn't mean that you can't ever maybe bring to light maybe a wrong attitude that he's having about something. Now, there is a way you need to do it. You still need to be respectful. You still need to be sensitive. There have been times where I've just blurted things out and I've really hurt him and offended him. And so definitely don't just say whatever pops into your brain and crush him. No, you need to be sensitive and you need to think through what you're going to say before you say it, obviously. But as his helper, it's important that your relationship is such that you can say, you know, I really don't think you're having the right response in this situation. This person is, they're trying their hardest and they're doing this, but you really, you're kind of upset and it seems almost like you're angry. Maybe you ought to just rethink, you know, how you're responding. And there have been times where he's been very appreciative of that, of my being able to point out and say, you know, I don't think that you're right in this. And of course, there's been other times where naturally he gets on the defense and he wants to protect himself, or he feels like I'm being overly critical. And I've always just reinforced, I am not your enemy. I am on your side. Your best interest is always what's in my heart and in my mind when it comes to anything that I say to you. And I have had to go back and apologize and say, I'm sorry that I offended you. I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. That wasn't my intention. And we need to, again, use wisdom and discernment and be sure that we're willing to be humble enough to seek forgiveness when we wrong our husbands, because it's gonna happen. And he's had times where he has offended me, and it's taken time to get to this point, but now I have the freedom to be able to say, you know, that really bothered me what you said, because I don't feel like that's what I'm doing. And he has apologized and said, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant to do. I didn't mean to hurt you or offend you. Please forgive me. And so having forgiveness towards one another is such a vital part of having a good marriage that honors the Lord. And you will experience seasons where it's a lot more difficult. Then you will experience seasons where you feel like, man, this is great. I'm on cloud nine. It's like the honeymoon phase again. And I know that different things cause different issues in marriage. When a spouse loses a job, when you move, when a baby is brought into the mix, when another baby is born, if you already have one child. Tons of different things can affect so many areas of life, and that's okay. We have to take those moments in stride. And again, you have to rely and throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and just say, God, help me through this. Help me do this. And I think often of some of the missionary or evangelists from years gone by who had wives that had to deal with pretty tough fellas. I think, for instance, of Sarah Edwards. You know, Jonathan, he was a guy that was devoted wholeheartedly to the work of the kingdom. And it says in several biographies that he would spend up to 13 hours a day in study. And if you think about that, he's devoted 13 hours a day to study. There's 24 hours total in a day. And he's got to at least be sleeping 8 hours. So that's what, 13, 8, 9, 10, 11. So that's like 21 hours. And so then he has like this little 3-hour window that he could possibly devote to his wife if he wasn't out of town. And I just think, oh, that had to be hard. And they lived in the 1800s when, I mean, they were living rough lives during those colonial times. And I mean, I can't even imagine what that would have been like. But yet Sarah was faithful. She was faithful to her husband. She was faithful to her Lord. And I'm sure that she had times where she had to ask Jonathan for forgiveness, and I'm sure she had times where he had to ask her for forgiveness because maybe he was just flippantly going about his day, not paying attention. But we've got to get it out of our minds, this Hollywood idea of what love and what marriage is. And if we can focus on the commitment that marriage really is, that when you say I do, you are all in. That's it. Throw away the key. Nobody's leaving. We're going down with the ship if the ship goes down. You are there and you are committed. If we approach marriage in that way, we will have far more success through hardships, through hard times. But then we will have the greatest joy in the good times and the times of celebration and all of that. You know, our sixth baby was born with a cleft lip and palate. I've mentioned that several times throughout different podcasts. And up until this point, we had never really experienced any kind of medical issues with any of our children. And I remember sitting in the sonogram room, laying there, and you know, she's moving the camera all around my belly, and I start to catch on to the fact that she's focusing on one specific part, and she keeps going back over and back over and back over. And at this point, she was in the 2D setting, so it was just like the side profile of the baby. And she kept going back over and over, and I thought, well, that's weird. Why is she doing that? And then at one moment, she kind of shifts over this one part of my stomach and flips the camera to the 4D, and it was like instantly I saw it. I saw our baby boy's face, and I thought, oh no. And it took a few minutes to register, and then I asked, is that what I think it is? Is that a cleft lip? And if you've ever seen any of those like Operation Smile commercials or anything like that, I mean, a cleft lip is very distinguishable, even in utero. You can see it very clearly. And her whole face just dropped. And I felt so bad for the lady who was giving the sonogram. And you could just tell she felt horrible having to tell us this news. And especially when we had these 5 other children with, you know, no kind of physical defects or anything like that. And she was very crushed to have to tell us, yes, that is what it is. And I remember looking at my husband, and I just remember thinking, Lord, you have chosen Matthew and I to be this little boy's parents. You know that we can do this. Yes, this is hard. Yes, this hurts, but we're going to do this together. And I remember there was a couple days that went by and I cried a couple times, and I really just dealt with it internally. And then I turned my attention to my husband, and I just constantly was reassuring him, we can do this. We can do this. The Lord has chosen us to be this little boy's parents. We can do this. And at the time, I was very sick after I had Jonathan. It was a very rough delivery. And I was sitting in the hospital, and normally I'm a take reins kind of person. I jump in, I do everything that I need to do. And at this particular moment, I was not able to do anything. It was debilitating almost. I wasn't able to go to the NICU and feed Jonathan or change his diaper or do any of that. I was bound to my hospital room. And Matthew, again, it not being his comfort zone is not being his element. He stepped up to the plate. The Lord enabled him, and he persevered through, and he was the first to feed him. He was changing his diaper. He was holding him, and I was still dealing with the emotions of our child is different, and I feel like I'm going to break him, and I don't know if he's in pain. I don't know how to help him. There was just this massive disconnect for me, but to see him step in and just take charge in such a hard period of our marriage, I fell in love with him all over again to see him just really rise up to the challenge. And here we are 2 months later, and our little guy is going to be getting ready for surgery soon, and we're going to face another period in our parenting and in our marriage. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult readjusting to how we're going to have to feed him after surgery, readjusting to him being in pain, and dealing with keeping him content and happy and comfortable as he's recovering from his surgery and all of those elements. But again, had we not seriously made the commitment at the very beginning of our marriage that no matter what, we were in this to the end, there's no way that we could endure with the vigor and tenacity that we have had we not made that commitment before God, to God, that this was it. We were in it for the long haul. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are experiencing hardships in your marriage, if you're experiencing a time where you feel like I am married to an impossible person, don't lose heart. Place them on the altar at the feet of Jesus and say, God, you're the only way that I can fulfill my obligation and duty as their spouse. And I promise you, the Lord will give you everything that you need to endure through the hard times, because they will come, and he'll give you everything you need to enjoy the blessing of the good times. So I hope again that you will go into your marriage and you will embrace your role and embrace everything that God's given you in your marriage, whether it's hardships or job loss or death or children or whatever the situation is, that you would just cling to your Savior and seek him at all costs. I hope that you will be back again tomorrow morning for another episode of Minutes with Mom. My name is Jerrica, and I hope that you have a great day.